Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
It is Wednesday, July 12th in the year of our Lord, 2023. Hi, Alex McFarland here. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Myself here with Chris Woodward, and later on in the hour we'll bring in Steve Jordahl. But let me say what an honor it is to be sitting in for Tim Wildman, Ed Vitagliano, Fred Jackson, and all of the regular commentators and journalists that are part of Today's Issues. I'm on the road, and first of all, Chris, let me say it's good to be on with you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, greetings from Indiana, by the way. I am at my third of six Christian camps this summer. I'm in West Harrison, Indiana, and with 110 teenagers all week to talk about biblical worldview. But it's good to be with you. We've got a lot of headlines. We'll get into these. But I just have to be on record, Chris. I gotta praise God. God is so good. Well, for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
One, last week I was in Colorado, and I was on AFR from a Christian camp in Colorado. We had 19 teenagers accept Christ last week in Colorado, and there were 200 kids at that camp, and we were talking about God and country. That's what I talk to teenagers about. But 19 made a salvation decision. But the other reason I'm praising God, Chris, is because I'm staring out this window from a conference center, and probably 500 feet away is a cell phone tower. Now, cell phone towers enable us to set up all the gear and do remote radio. So, Chris, my life has become the search for a cell phone tower.
Yes, that almost is the title of a book.
Yes, exactly. But now you were saying your wife is from Indiana?
Yeah, right? My wife and in-laws are from the great state of Indiana. They're all from the northern section there. They refer to it, and people in the area refer to it as Chicago, even though that's in Illinois.
Oh.
But yeah,
right.
Shout out to all of our listeners there in the places like Portage or Valparaiso, South Bend, Michigan City.
Oh, yes.
You have family ties down here in the Deep South.
Exactly. And this is Heartland America. Great people and great, great young people this week that we're talking to about, well, biblical worldview. And, you know, speaking of that, Chris, when you read headlines, is it fair to say that we are in a battle of worldview?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. I've been here almost 13 years. August 2nd will be 13 years here at AFR, and every day is another battle in that ongoing war. But, you know, it should not surprise us as believers. We do know there will come a day, and I do think we're in the last days, where we're starting to have a separation and a falling away from the church. And it's my job, as well as Steve's job and others here in the news service, to help document these things, to get people to be aware of them and to be in prayer. I'm glad that you brought up the fact that there were so many young people in Colorado that came to Christ. Because sometimes we hear stories, for example, a couple of months ago, if it's been that long, we had Jeff Hunt on from Colorado Christian University. And he was on with Jenna Ellis, and Jeff had talked about how it was important to stay active out west because, as Jeff went on to say, we've lost Colorado. The West is gone. Democrats have taken it over. And sometimes when we hear stories about liberal areas like Colorado or California especially, we roll our eyes and think, oh, you know, they're lost. There are Christians. There are good churches.
Exactly.
There are pastors that need our prayer. And so I'm glad that you and others are active in the camps to help lead people to the Lord, because you're going to have an impact on somebody else's salvation based on your work today.
Exactly. Well, and I give God the glory, you know, and we have a lot of people that pray for us. And I want to circle back and talk about California and Colorado for a second. But the show that if you recognize my voice, it's probably from a program called Exploring the Word. And 5 days a week live, Bert Harper and myself on the American Family Radio Network, we teach the Bible, the Word. And that's 3 to 4 Central Time, 4 to 5 Eastern Time. And so when I come out of the Exploring the Word realm and do things like Today's Issues, it really is a great honor.
Mm-hmm.
But I have people all over America that they say they're praying for us. And this summer, we've got 1,250 teenagers in six youth camps. And then I'm speaking in a few churches and conferences as well. But Chris, I do want people to be encouraged because, look, I don't minimize the fact that we are in a battle and it is darkness versus light. But these kids, middle school, high school, man, they light up. We talk about Jesus. We talk about the Bible, the authenticity of Scripture, and the evidence. That's apologetics. And then we talk about morals and culture. And these kids, I assure you, they are hungry for truth. It's almost kind of like intuitively they're wanting to know what's real. And so for all those that pray and they kind of keep up with our travel schedule, I really appreciate that. But listen to this. A month ago this week, I was in California, Chris. Mm-hmm. I was in Santa Ana, California, with a publisher that wants me to write a book about the gospel, kind of what is the gospel. But we were in the seventh floor of a high-rise office building, and he said, look out there, and he pointed. He said, there's a church. There's a big church. They're on fire. And he said, you know, you have no idea how many on-fire Christians are in California. Mm. And I've had a similar thing told to me in Colorado. I mean, look, I can think right now in Denver, Colorado Springs, Fort Collins, Grand Junction, Pueblo. I mean, there are some phenomenal on-fire churches because I've spoken in them. Here's my question for you, Chris. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago, Barna said the state in America that had the highest proportion of evangelical Christians was California. And I guess my question is, with such a remnant of people that believe in God and country, how can states like that just go so far off the rails into wokeness and just darkness? What do you think, Chris?
Well, number one, elections would be a big thing I would jump to here. You know, a number of people are smooth talkers. They say what they want people to know or hear, and they get elected, and then they do horrible pieces of legislation and laws. Also, too, you know, the news media glorifies certain people, and they cast others in bad light. So I would say it's politics and media. Obviously, you know, the devil is going to find a way to yeah. prevent people from being the witnesses that we're all called to be. So I would say it would be those three things.
And let's remember that people we send into office appoint judges. And,
yes.
And judges. And folks, there's kind of a multi-leg stool. I mean, there are city council that make ordinances, and there are school boards that approve curricula and put leaders in positions, and then there are elected officials that appoint judges. And I think over the last 25, 30 years, we've seen activist judges do so many things that at best are poor decisions and at worst undermine the Constitution. But we got to be in it for the long haul. Now, Chris, I know there are a lot of headlines.
Yes.
And I want you to kick that off. One thing that this might sound minor, I don't think it is. My mom and dad always taught me that the words we say reflect what's on the inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why mom and dad, we weren't allowed to say bad words. That's how. But our president, this has been in the news this week, that our president has a potty mouth.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Many people have kind of referred to him as President Potty Mouth. For those not aware of what I'm talking about, there's a news outlet called Axios, and it's left of center. One of many, obviously, liberal news outlets. But Axios has reported that President Biden has been known to yell and curse at staffers behind closed doors there in the Oval Office and throughout the White House. The reason this is in the news is for a couple of reasons. Let's go back a couple of years, if it was that far back. President-elect Biden had warned his staff that they needed to treat one another with respect, and if they didn't, they would be, quote, fired on the spot. He talked about that. Mm-hmm. We've aired the soundbite many times on this program, and we'll probably continue to do so. But nonetheless, Axios has reported that President Joe Biden has been yelling and cursing at people behind closed doors. Certainly, there are a number of people listening. There are a number of people throughout the country that have been known to let words fly, or even they lose their cool with people in private, maybe even in public. But we're not the president. And the president, this one especially, talked about how Donald Trump was a mean person, and he Joe Biden was going to restore decency to the White House and stuff like that. And
I remember that campaign promise.
Yes. Now you have, you know, liberal news outlets saying, hey, this guy's not living up to his promise. I've got some audio here. This is a guy named David Avella, and he's the chairman of GOP PAC. And Mr. Avella says, look, you know, a lot of people have been known to use words they shouldn't, and they've been known to lose their temper. But this definitely hurts this image that Biden and other Democrats want people to believe that he has about being, you know, a kindly uncle or a grandpa who just loves aviator sunglasses.
Didn't he campaign, the persona that he cast as a candidate was kind of the kindly old, the wise old, gentle grandfather kind of guy, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we've got some audio here of Mr. Avella saying this doesn't do well for Biden's image. Clip four.
Because we're effective, we are upsetting the balance of power,
only
in public education
again.
In America, which
Omaha.
Is controlled by the...
Omaha, okay. That's my bad. It's number three.
President Biden isn't the only one cussing and saying foul things about what's coming out of his administration. When you consider the fact that two out of every three Americans think we're heading in the wrong direction, and six out of 10 Americans believe it is his policies that are making the economics of this country worse and not better. And it's why ultimately Democrats had to change their primary calendar to get rid of Iowa and New Hampshire as first states he lost when he ran in 2020, and put in states more favorable to him. It's also why you see a lot of Democratic candidates who might want to run against Biden not taking him on, because the deck is now stacked against them.
Hmm. Alex, well, what does number one, what do you've already kind of hinted at this, but let me ask you this. If Biden said he was going to operate and conduct himself this way, and what Axios, assuming what Axios has reported about him is true, do you think that's hypocritical?
Oh, out of respect for hypocrites, I'm not going to make the comparison. No, I mean, look, this is a president that has instructed his staff to say he has six grandchildren when he has seven.
Mm-hmm.
This is a man that is known, and look, the Lord knows, Chris, I'm telling you, the Lord knows I have no ill will. I pray for this man. I pray for his cabinet. But look, Joe Biden has been a career serial liar throughout his political endeavors. And just look at the fanciful stories that very often border on ludicrous. He was a truck driver. He was raised Puerto Rican. He was a Protestant. He was a Catholic. He went to the black church on Sundays. He met with Dr. King to plan the civil rights movement. He was a train engineer. He broke up a gang led by Corn Pop in Richmond, Virginia. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's kind of like the relative you see at the family reunion, and you sort of steel yourself before you converse because you know this is going to be an earful of malarkey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But let me talk a little bit about character and vocabulary. Speaking of presidents, one of my favorites, our first president, George Washington, many, many years ago, Chris, on Exploring the Word, when Exploring the Word was pretty new, we interviewed an author named Janice T. Connell, and she had written a book called The Faith of Our Founding Father. George Washington had a little pamphlet that he wrote called On Manners and Civility, and his soldiers in the Continental Army, he would actually fine them a shilling or something if they said a profanity. And our first president taught that the way we speak to others, if we honor others, we're honoring God who made them. I don't know, what a dichotomy between where we were and apparently where we now are.
Yeah. Talking about the grandfather situation there where he doesn't acknowledge Hunter's child in Arkansas, yesterday, yeah. Interestingly enough, and I think this was coincidental, given that it was CBS and not Fox or Daily Caller, but the CBS News had a headline yesterday talking about how Biden hoped his grandfatherly image did well amongst this organization or meeting of NATO leaders. And the reason I thought that was interesting is because you go over to Fox or Daily Caller and you've got the articles, Town Hall 2, about how he's not acknowledging his own grandchild. So we have a tale of two grandfathers in these United States of America.
Well, we do. And look, at Christmas in the White House, the last 2 years, put up six stockings by the chimney with care for children. And staffers instructed to say, and he said, and I quote, he said, I have six grandchildren. I call them
yes.
every day, no joke. Well, even on The View, Chris, did you see this? And this is monumental. Somebody on The View, one of the panelists, sheepishly admitted, said, look, if this was Trump, we would be all over this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a low-hanging fruit of a comeback, but it really is true. Like, if this was the other way around, people would be nonstop talking about it. People that were fired from CNN in recent months would still be on the air. Anderson Cooper would be on the air nonstop, disheveled looking, you know, looking like 5 days in kind of thing, doing what they call wall-to-wall coverage of stuff, if it was the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. And anyway, that's something in the news because, look, we're talking about character. And people lead and act and comport themselves based on their character. And all that we know about our current president, I'm just speaking for myself personally, as an observer and a minister and counselor, the character box just didn't get checked in this man's life. Let's talk. Change gears if
okay.
we could, Chris. Moms for Liberty. Moms for Liberty has been labeled as a hate group.
It has.
Do you have that story?
We do, yes. Moms for Liberty has been labeled a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which doesn't like that Moms for Liberty has been active in the parental rights realm. Moms for Liberty was started a few years ago when a couple of moms, Tiffany Justice and Tina Deskovich, to name a few, were concerned about the woke things that they were finding in kids' textbooks in Florida and in other states. So they got together and they organized a group called Moms for Liberty, which has exploded to the point that they've now got chapters in virtually all the states, and they're active in state legislators. They've even been politically active as far as the 501c4 side of things, where
right,
they can
right.
fund candidates and endorse people. But nonetheless, the SBLC is one of those groups out there that has labeled them a hate group. Moms for Liberty actually, for the second year, just had a big gathering in Philadelphia where they talked about parental rights and education concerns and stuff like that. That prompted a lot of protests and whatnot. And unfortunately, Moms for Liberty has been receiving death threats and hateful messages and things like that. And I've got some audio here of one of the co-founders. Brent, I'll let you call up the right one when I point to you here in a second. But this is Tina Deskovich saying, hey, we're getting all these hateful messages, but it's not going to stop us.
Because we're effective. We are upsetting the balance of power, not only in public education in America, which has been controlled by the teachers union for decades, but honestly, in our government system. We recently found out that the Biden administration has met with Southern Poverty Law Center six times in recent months. You know, they tried last year to use the DOJ and the FBI to give a threat tag to parents that were showing up. Our members were called by the FBI after speaking at school board meetings, believe it or not. And now they're meeting with the Southern Poverty Law Center leading up to the date that they announce and add us to their hate map. They are threatened by moms that are organizing and speaking up against their agenda.
I will say that even though it's called Moms for Liberty, men can be a part of the organization. They do merchandise.
Right.
For example, they have merchandise t-shirts like a lot of groups do. A man can get a Moms for Liberty t-shirt if he wants to be a part of Moms for Liberty. But I tell you what, that's not the first time Tina has said that. She's mentioned similar things like that to me for months now. So has
right.
the other co-founder, Tiffany Justice.
What an appropriate name, Tiffany Justice.
I know.
Now, SPLC folks, you've got to understand, they've got this hate map, and they have long named mainstream respected Christian groups as hate groups. And look, I remember, see, I worked for James Dobson in Focus on the Family, and a shooter came into the lobby of Focus on the Family one time, but didn't... All right, SPLC named Tony Perkins and FRC mm-hmm. as a hate group. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And a terrorist group came into Family Research Council in D.C. to shoot the place up.
Mm-hmm.
And SPLC still, even though FRC was victim of really a terrorist attack, they still call Family Research Council valued colleagues of ours. I've known Tony Perkins for 20 years. I know much of his staff. But SPLC still labels them a hate group. Am I right?
Oh, yes, they do. American Family Association is on there. A number of groups have been unfairly lumped in with awful organizations like the KKK, which all of us would agree does horrible, no good, very bad things.
Right.
And so we're all being labeled hateful. Alliance Defending Freedom is also on that list. They were one of the reasons why ADF couldn't be on the Amazon Smiles program, because Amazon, at least at one point, relied on the SBLC to tell them who should be involved there as far as charitable groups.
Oh, my goodness. On a similar note, do you remember there was a page, I haven't thought of this in a couple of years, Right Wing Watch?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
It's still around, I believe.
You know, the funny thing, they would, in fact, some of my conservative commentator friends, we would try to see who could get mentioned by Right Wing Watch the most. And early in my Exploring the Word career, they would post on there, Reverend Alex McFarland says the Bible condemns homosexuality. Islamophobic Alex McFarland is on AFR saying that only through Jesus Christ can a person be saved.
Which is true,
you know. So in a way, these people that call patriots patriotic, they call Christians biblical, they fault people of morals and truth for telling the truth. They betray themselves, and in a way, it's a little bit of a badge of honor when they recognize this, isn't it?
This is why I tell people that liberals who want us to believe they're the ones with the open mind are the most closed-minded people on planet Earth. And
preach.
The ones out there that are, like, fighting racism are the ones that are racist, that want us to revert back to things that we were doing 50, 60, 75 years ago.
Well, in the opposite direction. So many headlines to cover. But speaking of the closed-mindedness of the liberals and folks, for a good decade, I was on the college circuit debating atheists. Now you've got to understand, here are some names that you may or may not know, like Lee Strobel, mm-hmm. Norm Geisler, William Lane Craig, Ravi Zacharias. In our lifetime, there have been some not just brilliant Christian apologists, J. Warner Wallace, John Lennox, Sean McDowell, mm-hmm. all these, you know, PhDs, brilliant, a few of them, like Norm Geisler, near genius level. And then you've got the past, C.S. Lewis, Thomas Aquinas, G.K. Chesterton. And I would debate atheists at many universities like UNC Chapel Hill and San Diego, University of Southern California. I had a debate with Mikey Weinstein. You mentioned Colorado Christian.
Right.
Mikey Weinstein, that the atheist who sued the Air Force Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And the wild thing, Chris, is like, look, I've read Richard Dawkins, I've read Christopher Hitchens, I've read Michael Shermer, I've read Bertrand Russell, I've read Anthony Flew, I've read The Atheists, Past and Present. On our side of the ledger, Dr. William Lane Craig, Dr. J.P. Moreland, they've never even heard of them. And what was so interesting was that, like, I would debate these academic-level atheists. They had no clue there's a whole world of biblical apologetics and worldview because they live in their own little vacuum.
Yeah. They only talk to the people they agree with, and therefore they're closed-minded.
Yep. Well, this is today's issues, Wednesday, July 12th, 2023. Chris Woodward, Alex McFarland. We're going to go over a lot more headlines in the next segment. Plus, in 30 minutes, we'll have Steve Jordahl from the news department. Stay tuned. Today's issues are back after this.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Welcome back to today's issues. Alex McFarland here on the American Family Radio Network with Tim Woodward. And it's good to have you listening. Folks, you know, you can listen on AFR online. Chris, when I was on the road speaking this past weekend, we met a couple from Stuttgart, Germany, that listened to us in Germany, but they listen on their computer.
Yes.
I don't know if we probably don't have a station on the ground in Germany.
I can verify we do not have a station, but I will say it's because of the great donations from our listeners and supporters that we are able to have things like that. That's not the first person I've heard of overseas that listens to us. I took donation a few share-a-thons ago from a lady, and I'm assuming she was a military wife somewhere in Europe because she had been listening to us online. We've gotten people from Africa before that England. Wrote to us. And, you know, we have a lot of people that listen to us online in places where maybe they don't get a strong signal radio-wise. That has been a great benefit. And I got to tell you, it is, it's such a God thing. I am from a small town not far from where we're located here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Shout out Panthers. And, you know, it's just an honor to get to do what I do and have people around the world hear us.
Well, isn't it, though? And, you know, I hail from Pleasant Garden, North Carolina, a little place where
there are
more.
Is that next to Mount Pilot?
Pretty close. Okay. I've been to Pilot Mountain, a.k.a. Mount Pilot.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was in Canada to preach, and I'm in a hotel lobby. This family just amazed. They're like, oh, my goodness, Alex, we listen to you and Bert every day. I know we have a lot of listeners in Canada. Mm-hmm. Bert and I, in the last, I'm going to say, 3 years of exploring the word, we've gotten easily half a dozen calls or emails from Britain. I was speaking last summer, 1 year ago, at the Billy Graham Training Center. An entire family flew over from India. They listened to AFR on their computer in India. And there are a few other localities around planet Earth I could mention. But here's the thing. Yes, you mentioned donors and supporters. Thank the Lord that we're throughout the USA. But literally, the sun never sets on the AFR content by virtue of, you know, listeners around the world online. Isn't that exciting, Chris?
It really is. It really is. And I know, I've heard from truckers. I've heard from homeschool moms. I've heard from people that, they're working, they're Christians, but they're working in the secular world. And who doesn't, really? There's a lot of people out there. But they'll listen to us during their lunch break or when they're driving between meetings or patients and stuff like that. One of the cool things, too, if people are not aware, because we do get people that are new to us and new to you, but we do have podcasts on our website, which is AFR.net. I shared the link a moment ago on our Facebook page for this show. But if you go to AFR.net and you click on the podcasts button, you'll be able to see podcasts of not only this show, but Jenna's, the Sandy Rios podcast, which is extremely popular now that Sandy has moved to the podcast realm. There's a ton of things out there, including Exploring the Word. So you can, you know, it's kind of an on-demand radio option for people that don't catch something live.
Well, exactly, and we give God the glory for that. Let's go back to a perennial topic in conservative conversation, and that's Target.
Yes.
What's the latest with the venerable retailer Target?
Yeah. Well, Attorney General Andrew Bailey in Missouri, he is part of an effort by several attorneys general that have written a letter expressing their concerns to Target and other retailers that were in the news last month for selling transgender merchandise for kids, LGBTQ merchandise to kids. The concern being that this is laying the groundwork and grooming them, perhaps. And our own Charlie Butts at AFN.net had a sit-down interview yesterday with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey about this very topic. And listen to what Mr. Bailey has to say, clip 7.
My concerns is that they're sexualizing and grooming children based on under the guise of diversity, based on some of these products that they were selling that overemphasize sexual characteristics in children's clothing. And it's abominable and shameful that they would do such a thing. At the end of the day, I'm a parent, and I reserve the right to have those conversations with my children, you know, under the terms that I determine to be appropriate and based on my value system, not based on a woke agenda. And it bothers me that corporate America has taken this hard left turn and forgotten the common folks out here in middle America who still value protecting children from these sorts of exposure to these sorts of things.
Mm, Wow. You know, there was a time in Western culture and certainly in America when one of the paramount concerns of responsible adults was the welfare of children. Chris, doesn't it grieve your heart that, I mean, the primary concern among many is advancing an agenda, imposing an ideology. It's not the welfare of children. Mm-hmm. There's no child that needs to be psychologically and even physically groomed to be just a twisted, warped, confused sexual pawn. I mean, it's grieving our heart. And these retailers like Target that are just playing into the, Chris, I call it the alphabet mafia.
Yes. Yeah, the LGBTQIA plus and all the other letters that I forgot to mention there.
Corporate America, get on board with us or you will pay. I mean, it's really an ultimatum they put, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. And, you know, there was a time in America where people that subscribed to the it takes a village mindset, they were all doing it so that way we would all be where we needed to be spiritually as a culture, in our Bibles, in our churches, and things like that. And now you've got people that subscribe to that mentality as saying, we know better than your parents, and our village is going to teach you how to remake the village so that way we'll have the America or village that we think is best, which is why corporations and other people have moved in this direction. The other reason why a lot of companies, Target being one of them, have started to do these kinds of things is because progressive investors show up at their shareholder meetings and they raise a stink here and they maybe even bring up scripture and talk about how we need to treat others the way we want to be treated and stuff like that. And they make the CEOs and board members feel bad about themselves and therefore do whatever these liberals want them to do, which is why there are some conservative shareholders who own stock in companies, including Target, that do go to these kinds of meetings, the shareholder meetings, to say, hey, this is not right. You need to move back to center and try to get companies not to continue down this path.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I remember Hillary Clinton's book 20-plus years ago, It Takes a Village, which it's not about the community coming around for the spiritual and moral welfare of the children. That mindset, really, of the last two decades, it's really to undermine and marginalize the traditional nuclear family, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, there's a lot of options out there that you can point your kids to. And a lot of people listening to my voice probably would say Hillary is not one of the people I want my children listening to. She won a Grammy for that, I believe. They did like a recorded version, like an audiobook of that. And I want to say she also won a Grammy for that book back in the day.
Wow. Well, the accolades of man might have been there, but the approval of God and truth certainly weren't.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a story, Chris, I'd love for you to weigh in on.
Okay.
On a Georgia Democrat who has switched, has come over to the light.
Yes.
from out of the darkness into the liberating, invigorating light of the GOP. Part of the decision was just the pushback she got about school choice.
Yes, this is a state representative in the great state of Georgia. Her name is Misha Maner, and she was a Democrat who has turned Republican in recent days. And part of the reason why she said she got tired of being a Democrat and wanted to go GOP is because of the lack of support she got from her fellow Democrats when it comes to supporting school choice, something Maner believes would benefit people of color, students of color in Georgia, and give them education opportunities beyond what they currently have. And she's also been criticized by Democrats for not supporting efforts to defund the police. So Maner, no surprise here, has been doing a lot of press based on her switch from being a Democrat to Republican there in Georgia. And I've got some audio of her today talking about how liberals were going after her based on her support for school choice. Clip 8.
I stand by everything that I said. The Democrat Party has not been focusing on Black Americans for quite a while now. We cannot say that we care about people in marginalized communities if we want to keep them suppressed and oppressed. One of the things that bothered me the most is when I would ask them, why are we doing this? Why is it okay for kids to not be able to read? We're in ChatGPT right now. What are we doing? Their response to me was, we've got to give them hope. We've got to give them hope. So they need to just stay where they are. Hope is what we're going to give them. And in response, I would say, since when is a lie hope?
Wow. See, that takes courage and conviction to go on record saying things like that. Good for her. Mm-hmm. Good for her.
Yeah, and there have been other Democrats in recent months that switched from being Democrat to Republican. There was a lady in North Carolina, I believe it was, who got fed up with the Democratic Party and switched over to the GOP. And she actually was able to make the difference there in either passage of a bill or a veto override, one of the two. So mm-hmm. there have been a couple. And no, we're not saying, family, that you know, you're a born-again Christian and you're saved on your way to heaven if you're a Republican and a member of the party.
Of course not, yes.
But, and Lord knows, there are many objections and criticisms to the GOP and the direction they have moved in my 40-plus years on this earth. You know, a lot of people are tired of liberalism, and they're saying, look, people like Joe Biden have been in some sort of public office for decades. No difference has been made for people whatsoever. Therefore, I'm going to go over here and have a conversation with the other people that have been saying all along, this is not working.
Mm. This, I think in my home state of North Carolina, this was Tricia Cotham,
okay.
C-O-T-H-A-M. Does that sound right? This was in the spring of this year, and it said that her switch to the Republican Party in North Carolina gives the GOP a veto-proof supermajority
yes.
in the state house. By the way, in my home state of North Carolina, the North Carolina Chief Justice of the North Carolina Supreme Court is a conservative Republican. So, folks, there's hope. And let me just throw this out there. And Chris, I want to go to some transgender news here in a moment. But, folks, God might be leading you to run for office. Look, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington has kind of been a great American precept mm-hmm. that we say an ordinary person, but look, if you know the true and living God, you understand our blessed nation and you're willing to get involved, that's extraordinary. And so, look, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your status in life, don't rule out getting involved. We all can pray. We all can influence others. We all can vote. Some people listening right now, God may be calling you to run for office. And, you know, think about it, pray about it. But, you know, the old saying, Chris, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. It's time good people must get involved.
Yeah, I don't understand the mindset that some people have, respectfully, that, you know, we shouldn't be involved politically. We should be separate. We shouldn't try to muddle God's plan and stuff like that. If somebody was in a burning building or they were drowning, people would do whatever they could to try to rescue that person. How is that not meddling with, you know, fate and things like that? I do believe we are called to be active and engaged with people, because that is part of how we can be salt and light when we're not in the pews and on our knees.
Exactly. Do you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I've got to share something that happened. This was back in about 1780 or 1790. True story, folks. Chris, I'm so glad you brought this up. And look, we know a sovereign God is in control.
Amen.
We know that. But we are to make a difference. They called it the Dark Day of New England. Do you remember, have you ever heard this story, Chris? Now listen to this. In Massachusetts, maybe it was clouds, maybe it was a dust storm, but somehow the middle of the day, it got dark. And it wasn't an eclipse, as far as we know, but for some reason, the sun was obstructed and blotted out. Well, the Massachusetts legislature was meeting, and it got really dark. And everybody said, let's adjourn, because this might be the end of time. This might be the judgment day. And one of the men in the House stood up and said, look, let's not adjourn. Let's be at our business. Because if it's not the judgment day, we need to keep on working. But if it is the judgment day, when Christ comes back, I want to be found doing my duty. So even though it's dark, we don't know what's going on, let's keep on working. And my point in sharing that story, Chris, was that, look, we know Christ is coming back. C.S. Lewis said this. It's one of my favorite quotes. C.S. Lewis, in 1954, he was interviewed by a magazine, and he said, the important thing is this. We know Christ is coming. Time will come to an end, but we are at our post when the inspection comes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we should be active. We should be involved. Our being active politically will impact court cases against people of faith. And when I say people of faith, we need to realize that a court case against a Jewish person or a Muslim or a Hindu, whatever it may be, those things set precedents that impact us as Christians.
Sure.
And that's why when I interview an attorney from, say, First Liberty or Alliance Defending Freedom, Pacific Justice
Matt
Institute.
Staver.
Yeah. You know, I will sometimes ask them, like, hey, let's say this person driving along doesn't live in Arizona where this case is taking place. Why should that person care about and pay attention to this issue? And more often than not, the answer is if the government or somebody will come after them and impact their way of living, they'll have no problem coming after you. Which is why you should pay attention to and care about issues, even if you feel, well, this doesn't impact me or that's not how I worship. Because it will impact you at some point, if not immediately.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, you know what? We didn't see this coming a decade ago, or at least I didn't. But transgenderism, it's in the news every day. It's just being imposed. There's a story that we'll talk about with Steve Jordahl in a few minutes mm-hmm. from now about personal pronouns. But Abigail Wheeler, the swimmer, there's a story that FRC was reporting about her. Do you have that, Chris?
I do, and I do not have the sound, but I can share what Alex has just shared with the audience here. Abigail Wheeler is a 16-year-old swimmer who has been in the news for a couple of days now because Abigail realized the YMCA, where she is on the YMCA swim team in Springfield, Illinois, allows dudes in women's locker rooms. And she did not feel comfortable there. And she and another person at the YMCA spoke out against this, went to people and said, hey, you know, this is not right. Abigail says that she was told by her YMCA swim coach, there's nothing we can do about this. It's state law. You know, we can have you go over here or we can have you change at home, whatever you want to do. But she still did not feel comfortable. So Abigail took it upon herself with this other individual to post posters in the area of the women's locker room to say things like women's rights, safe space only, you know, stuff like that.
Sure.
And
sure.
Abigail says that as a result of her peaceful protests, she was told not to come back to the YMCA and she couldn't be on the YMCA swim team. They told a different story to Fox News, but Abigail says that's not true. This is what really happened. And I have a story airing today on American Family News to which Meg Kilcannon of Family Research Council, or FRC, said that they supported Abigail and they wished other people would be like her. Certainly Riley Gaines has become a household name, if you will, of female athletes that do not feel it's right to have to compete against females. Interestingly enough that you brought this up, Alex, there's an effort in Arizona right now to do away with that state's ban on males in female sports. And I've got a couple of pieces of audio here. We can get at least one of them in. Here now is Arizona Women of Action President Kim Wheeler on this effort in Arizona to do away with the ban on males and female sports. Clip 5.
It is very serious because what it's going to do is basically eliminate female sports because they will not be able to play and compete on a level playing field because they'll be forced to compete with biological males in their sports. And that's exactly why the state voted last year to instate the Save Women's Sports Act that really protected Title IX and the rights of girls to compete and be safe in their sport and reap the benefits of their hard work.
I got to tell you, Alex, hardly a day goes by, certainly not a week, where I'm not doing a story about female athletes claiming they lost out on position titles, scholarship opportunities, all kinds of things. And people think, well, big deal. It's just a sport. Get over it. It's just a game, right? These are ways that females use to get to college. And if they're losing out to a guy, they're losing out on their scholarship opportunity. And Alliance Defending Freedom is one of the many organizations that are in court over Title IX cases right now. Speaking of Title IX,
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about that.
Yes.
Go ahead.
This is all the more reason why today's Democrats are not your daddy's Democrats. Because 50 years ago, Democrats fought for, to their credit, and got Title IX in place to give females equal access in things like sports. And now the radicals have taken over the party to the point that they're telling their own people, suck it up, buttercup. We're going to have a male and a female sport.
So listen to this. I was president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, and then for 8 years I was on faculty at North Greenville University in South Carolina. Now, every year about August, before school reconvened, we would go through this Title IX training, and it was called the Clery Act, but it was about sex discrimination in academics. And, Chris, we would see these videos produced by the U.S. government, and it would say, appropriate interaction with a female colleague. Inappropriate interaction, and it would show two people by the copy machine, and the man would walk by and say, good morning, and the female would say, good morning, and that would say, this is appropriate. Then they would it would show a film, and the guy would say, you look nice today, inappropriate, because that's microaggression,
right?
Sexual harassment, right? So isn't it something that just to say to a female colleague in an academic setting, well, you look nice today, that's inappropriate. But a man going into a woman's changing room or a female restroom, that is appropriate. And this shows really, we could call it self-contradictory or the self-cannibalizing nature of liberal ideology. Because here it is, Chris. Now, folks, listen to this. I want to throw this word out here. Egalitarianism. Now, egalitarianism says that all things must forcibly be made equal, and there is no difference between male and female. And I'm just going to say, Chris, and I want your thought, because I really respect the way you think. This is not about women's rights or trans rights. This is about getting God out of the conversation.
It really is. It's the umpteenth effort to remove God from the equation, right? By the way, God did create male and female. As many people have pointed out on this show before, God wrote the Bible, and he declared his pronouns are he and him. So there you go. God, and don't remove him from the picture, because when you do, I can warn you, as a Christian, bad things will happen.
I'm going to say this. Promiscuity, homosexuality, immorality, it's one thing to say, God, you can't tell me how to behave. But transgenderism says, God, you can't even define what I am.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes. And some of those people that identify as such tell me that I'm not being a good Christian. I'm not being inclusive. I'm not treating people the way that they should. Yes, we should treat people the way that we want to be treated. But there is still scripture that says things like, whatever God says, that's what I'm going to speak. And we must obey God rather than man. God laid this out this way. And whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. God said it. That ends it.
Does respect mean that I have to agree with someone in their denial of reality?
I would say no. You can politely disagree.
Exactly. So, folks, we really are in a spiritual problem. And just like a couple of minutes ago, I was talking about people running for office. We, the church, if you're a Christian of any denomination, you believe in Jesus, you believe in the Bible. I do. I know millions listening do. We've got to do what only we can do. As much as I appreciate good journalism, I appreciate good government. I respect those that run for office and tirelessly get in the fray. But there is a component beyond the scope of human effort and the spiritual battle. And I've got to say, prayer, intercession, calling out the name of Jesus over our land, we who love God and country, we've got to engage the spiritual side of this battle, which is something only the Church of Jesus Christ really can do.
Right. And I can say, as a member of the church, I strongly recommend you not just spend your time with programs or networks like AFR. Be collective and worship with fellow believers there in your community. Go to church, read the Bible on your own. listen to God-honoring music and certainly continue to be in prayer. Pray without ceasing, right? That's right. In the Bible. So don't think, well, I listened to today's issues, I'm good. No, you still need to spend time alone with God and with other believers. And we'll still be here with you to collectively worship and keep you informed as we talk about today's issues.
Well, folks, class is in session, and Chris Woodward will be back with me in just a moment after this brief break. Plus, journalist, commentator Steve Jordahl. Today's issues will return this Wednesday, July 12th, 2023 edition. Stay tuned, folks. We're back after this brief break.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.